You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Tennessee baseball counter-programming edition of the show. We got a big one lined up for you this afternoon. Bear and Tucker are here. Houston Kress finishing up his lost week.
Six-day weekend.
Slaving over that hot fishing pole.
I did talk with him yesterday.
Oh, that's good. I've not heard from him at all. I just assumed he didn't want to talk to me.
You're not part of the Tiger team, and you frequently make fun of us, so.
I do.
We had some Tiger team business.
I would like to apologize to absolutely nobody.
I'm sorry.
Why are you the way you are?
I don't know, man. It's the way that God made me. Greatness.
Just a jerk.
Oozes.
The jerk store called.
Well, we got a big weekend. I mean, it's Kentucky Derby
Amish
weekend.
NASCAR, Russell.
First of all, do we have a Kress fishing update?
How many fish has he caught?
How's that going? Well, because he strikes me as a big Derby guy too. Like I would imagine, I could see Kress in his seersucker suit with a mint julep at a party, rubbing elbows, trying to act fashionable.
Oh, with his old lady, you know, wearing they both be dressed in
the
nice
bonnet.
Yeah. Is it called a bonnet?
I don't
know. Or a crown, or what do you call it?
Hat.
A hat?
Lady's hat.
Yeah, but it's beyond a hat, some of those hats they put on.
Game hasn't even started. We've already lost Harlan. He has no idea what's happening,
what?
Right? He is zoned out.
I'm hearing you, discuss Kress.
It's Friday. Kress isn't here. As Russ says, buddy, it's time to put your shoulder into it. Lean into it, son.
We have some – we're going to talk to – it's a big Outkick day here on The Drive. We've got, what, Trey coming up first?
Yeah, Trey will be on here in about 15 minutes.
And then coming up in hour number two, the Lenoir City Bulldog.
Tower of Power.
Davey Boy Hudson is back, the third member of our voluntary reaction triumvirate of power. Always a fun time catching up with him, and we'll have our weekly visit with Logan Quinton, who I'm stunned, quite frankly, that he's going to come in. I mean, the game one of this doubleheader should be finishing up right about then, and he's going to come join us during it. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll run rule him here
that
first game.
That would
be cool.
Nice, but yes, Logan Quinton, Logan's fired up about being in here with us this afternoon. The 5 o'clock hour, we'll have Logan Quinton from the 920 podcast. Looking forward to that, Tucker.
Yes, the Cookie Man. Always good to get visits from him.
Apparently, the Cookie Man, our buddy over at Crumble, is wanting to come by and visit with us.
Oh, Grant. Yeah, I love Grant. Hopefully,
let's come see
he
our
can
new
do that.
Digs and
everybody wants to come see the new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studio. So, ball game's getting underway. Tell you what, we'll keep you up to date a little bit on the ball game. We're not going to spoil it and all that stuff. I sent a message to Tony Vitello earlier today expressing my dismay. Tony has always worked with us on these start times. Famously, we have pleaded with him to move games back to 6 p.m. that were 5 p.m. starts, and he's generally accommodated us. I let him know The Drive is not pleased with a 3 p.m. start for what is a key game against a hated rival down in Gainesville. And so I've not heard back. I get it. Game day. Maybe he's a little bit preoccupied, but an official complaint has been registered. I would just like that on the record.
I felt like Tony's, you know, he didn't want to take your advice early in the year on the lineup.
By the way, what's up with this lineup? All right, so Tears is banged up.
Yes.
Then why did he play? I mean, not take a shot at a guy. Why did he play in that midweek game that didn't matter?
Well, I mean, was he banged up before that? I don't.
I know,
I don't even know what the injury is.
They pinch hit him in that game.
A lower extremity injury?
Yeah, it's a lower body injury of some sort.
Well, he had a hamstring last year that kept him out for a good chunk. So I do wonder if maybe it's a hammy, which those can be. And as I recall, it took him a long time to get back from that situation. So
have you ever had have you ever pulled your hamstring?
Dude, I actually have. Like, I'm 44, and my body's falling apart, dude. Like, my back hurts, my shoulder hurts, and my left hamstring. It's weird, and no way comparing myself to a 20-year-old SEC athlete, but like, it's just permanently sore even when it's not. It's just, like, I walk every day, and I try and run like short distances as a part of that, and it's just, I can't get right, man. Can't get right.
We look fantastic, sir.
Thank you, sir. Well, I mean, like I said, I'm out here fighting through it. I'm doing my thing. Feeling good. Look good, feel good, play good. That's what they say. But, yeah, I mean, this lineup is straight. So, Dreiling hitting fourth today. Ensley hitting fifth. Old Curley hitting sixth. Chapman playing right field, four tiers, hitting seventh. And then hitting eighth in the DH hole. This is the lineup yesterday. Raised a lot of eyebrows. Comes back today. Same lineup, same thing. Bradkey Laurie getting the start at DH, nevertheless, which is, I don't know.
Interesting they don't throw Bargo in there over Laurie.
No Bargo, no Villeneuve has just disappeared.
Did Bargo break out of it? Bargo was in a slump for a hot minute. I don't know if he ever busted out of it.
Laurie hasn't exactly produced anything for you either, not even that weekend in Dallas to start the season.
No, I just remember his first at-bat of the year, and first of all, he struck me as vertically challenged, I believe, is the PC term.
There's a couple of them.
And, like, there's just no strike zone because he's one of these 5'8 guys, and he bats in a crouch, and he drew a walk, and I think he got a hit in that first game. And I'm thinking, huh, like we've got the Zakai Ziegler, the baseball team, and then Curley came in and took over. So we haven't seen him much. Big opportunity for him. Stark batting ninth, catching. I would imagine double header we will probably see Cannon Peebles behind the plate in game two. It's just a guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. You would think with a double, two nine-inning games, I just assume we're going to see Stark in one game and Peebles in the other.
Would think so.
You know what? I mean, that would be a lot to ask somebody to catch 18 innings.
So we got a doubleheader here today. We've got some interesting news in the world of college athletics. NCAA could pay $2.7 billion with a B dollars in antitrust lawsuits as the world of college athletics continues to shift, continues to change. What is the future of revenue sharing in college sports? What's next? What is possible with that? We will discuss with Trey and Davey coming up here in a little bit on the show this afternoon. But, yeah, you know, I was listening to some other folks talk about the Derby. And, you know, I've been on this for a number of years. My eyes just kind of roll back. I don't know, man. I get it. It's the oldest sporting event in North America. It's whatever. I don't get it. It's not for me, man. It is not for me. Bear, I don't remember your position on this. Are you Derby guy?
No, I think it's – I put it right over there with, like, rodeos and other things.
Rodeos, that's good.
Yeah.
I would go to a rodeo.
I wouldn't.
No?
No, you ever see those straps they put on this poor animal? You want to know why they're kicking so hard? I got a strap with a barb jammed into their –
Yeah, but you got clowns running around, bulls trying to gore people. I mean, I get it. It's exciting, and I'm with you. Like, I don't know, when I
watch it, I always root for the bulls.
It's like rooting for the course in golf.
Sort of.
What kind of jack do you think a rodeo clown pulls in? I know what kind of jack a radio clown pulls in. Trust me, it ain't much. What about a rodeo clown?
I don't imagine it's a whole lot.
Do you get hazard pay? I mean, if you do take a horn to the midsection, is there any sort of bonus or something? Do we have medical?
You got to have some kind of medical
something
insurance.
Like that?
What is it called? Have you seen those people, those idiots? It'll be at a rodeo, and they're like, guys like us, they'll go out there and they'll sit around a card table, and then they turn a bull loose in there. And I guess the last person that's sitting in their chair.
Are you talking about Jackass, the movie right now?
No, this is a real thing. It's not just those guys.
It's a sport?
It's some crazy thing they'll do.
Who?
People at certain rodeos. I went down a rabbit hole, watched a bunch of videos of people just getting murked.
Oh, like in the middle of the dirt arena,
yeah,
they set up a
card table.
I think I have seen that, yeah.
Cowboy
that's crazy.
They call it something poker. Maybe cowboy poker, maybe. I'm not sure, but man, how out of your mind do you have to be to sit there and with just an enraged bull?
What about the running of the bulls?
Oh, that's cruel.
What's your position on that?
That's
cruel?
Horrible.
To the bulls?
Yeah. You seen them trying to stop on those cobblestone streets on their hooves?
Hey, man.
There's no way I would do that. You've seen guys get like, I saw a story where a guy got gored, you know, down
below.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of the appeal is to be able to face nature head on, and there's something primal about it. I get it.
Prime. You want to talk primal. There's nothing more primal than having like a 32-hour surgical procedure to have your bowel resectioned and your, you know, your
not
your
saying
booty
I would
put
do
back
it
together.
Not saying I would do it. Just saying I get it. Just saying I get it. What do you think? Overrated sporting events. Give me your – Tucker, what is your position on the Derby, first and foremost? Feel free to disagree.
Oh, I'm not all for it either, and trust me, I'm from a household in which we raised horses, walking horses, though, not race horses.
Really?
Yes.
Tennessee
really?
Walking horses?
Yes.
You have horse background?
Yeah.
You're a horse family?
Franklin, Tennessee.
Let me ask you a couple of questions here. Now, that is an industry that has been –
I'm aware, Bear.
Huh.
Yeah, don't get all Greenpeace on us. Nobody cares about any of that
crap.
But
yes, they raised some of the first walking horses in like the 1950s. Like Midnight Sun was the name of one. And like a lot of the ancestors of those horses are the ones you see running around at homecoming for Tennessee.
So you kind of are Derby guy. It's okay. You like the Kentucky Derby.
Oh,
no.
No, come on, man. I could totally see you like.
Don't let us pressure you.
I could totally see Houston and Jules standing there, and then out of the – just here comes Tucker dressed in his seersucker suit.
Well, I've never won anything on horse – I don't even know how to gamble on horse racing. I don't know what to look at other than the odds.
See, I'm really not that into it is what I'm trying to say.
What are some other – overrated sporting events? I've got three. I want to see if you guys can guess any of mine.
The Kentucky Derby obviously is one, right?
Well, no, I have three besides the Kentucky Derby.
Oh. I think I know one of them, and Bear's not going to like this. Is it the Olympics?
You are correct.
I knew that.
The Olympics is the most overrated event in all of sports.
The Indy 500?
Nope.
Daytona 500.
Nope.
I mean, you have referred to it as NECAR, I think.
Yep. No, but I like the Daytona 500. I actually think that's kind of cool.
NASCAR is not overrated in any of these.
No,
I'm assuming.
I'm fine with NASCAR.
Okay.
No problem with it. It's cool.
You like tennis. You like golf. You like soccer. You're like sports guy. It's obviously as a bonus for you considering your line of work. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's a
putting
plus
the pieces
for you
together now. I'll give you the first overrated sporting event I have is the Super Bowl.
Wow.
The Super Bowl has jumped the shark. It's just all day. The game has become secondary. We've lengthened halftime now to accommodate a halftime show. The commercials have jumped the shark and everything. The football game has become a sideshow and secondary to all the hoopla that surrounds it. And, you know, when I'm thinking up of my sports bucket list, places I would like to go, the Super Bowl, honestly, is not that high.
Now, I would. What's wild is, because to me, my favorite weekend of NFL – the NFL calendar is conference championship week, the AFC and NFC championship games the week before. And then after that, that's kind of why I can go with you there. I agree with you. Because I get a little down in the dumps because the Super Bowl is just usually – I mean, this year was a pretty good game, but
– It's the whole purpose of it is just to get the casual butt in seat, essentially.
Your eyes and sell a bunch of ads.
And then my third most overrated sporting event – and this one will be controversial because some people will say it's not sport, but I do not get the sudden fanfare, hoopla, and coverage of WrestleMania. It's 2 days now. We're going to bring back guys who used to do it, and we're going to have these, and everybody's going to geek out and be, oh, it's nostalgia overload and all this stuff. We're covering it on SportsCenter as if it's an actual event. What are we doing? What are we doing? We used to be a serious country, and now we've turned professional wrestling. And listen, I grew up on professional wrestling. I had all the figurines and everything. There was a period when I was real little that I thought it was real, and that was fun. And even when I realized that it was fake, and I still was into it, and the Attitude Era was – I was in high school, so I kind of got into it then as kind of an ironic thing, but – you know what happened eventually after that? I grew up. I became an adult. I had a job, wife, kids, bills to pay, things to do. And you got to let certain things to go because there's not time enough for everything. And you know what's a very easy thing for me to let go? And what should be an easy thing for adults to let go? Grown men in leotards pretending to beat each other up.
It's real to me, Russ. It's real to me.
I'm not offended by anything on that list that you said is
you agree
overrated.
with all? Okay.
Yeah, I do.
We've got some friends that would be offended with that last one, like namely Rick Butler and John Reed.
I've not watched a second of WrestleMania in my life.
Well,
that's not surprising.
I want to hear your guys' most overrated sporting events, and we could take some calls on that as well, 865-288-3131. Quick timeout, though, when we continue, Trey Wallace of Outkick joins the festivities. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Drive Continues, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear Tucker cruising with you on a Friday afternoon edition of the show, and pleased to be joined by our old pal, Trey Wallace of Outkick. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
I am good, buddy. Hope y'all are doing well. I've been interested to see how the Wallace Cup has been going on this week with Houston.
He is out to a commanding early lead.
It is a Crest Cup, and it is the award given. It's a trophy given to the Wallace Award winner.
Right.
Currently, Houston Crest, as always, is in first place, as Russell just said, with a surprise dark horse candidate this year, Trey. One Bobby Baskerville.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like secretariat, just coming up from behind, thundering.
Oh, yeah. He's laying in the weeds. He's got a lot of time off planned in June and July. Let me tell you, a lot.
He's got that. Man, y'all are offering PTO plans now at Fox Sports Knoxville? Damn.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You got to come by and see the new digs, man, the new plush White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We've got plants in here. Not those fake rubber trees either.
We thought they were fake.
Actual fauna up in this place.
Dude, let me tell you something. I have seen pictures, guys, from inside that studio, and it looks absolutely amazing. I can't – when I get back to Knoxville, I'm definitely coming by, and I'll sit in. But it looks awesome. You guys, it's fantastic. So hat tip to all you guys for putting it together and whatnot, because it looks great.
Hey, man, it's good stuff up here. So we got to get you in here at some point. Trey, we're watching the baseballs this afternoon as the weather wreaking havoc on the series down there in Gainesville. And just getting your thoughts on how things are going here. And obviously it's going well for Tennessee. I mean, ranked in the top five. And right. you get the feeling, Trey, you covered the whole Maui Ahuna thing with the NCAA last year, whatever happened there. You covered it closely. Do you get the feeling that Tony is enjoying this season a lot more than he did last season, even though, I mean, last season was obviously very successful?
Yeah, but I also think there were so – I think he's enjoying this year. And I've talked to Tony a couple times about this. I think he's enjoying it because there were so many unknowns when it come to, like, Friday pitching. You know, like – and then you also, you know, you throw in the fact of what you have lost over the last number of years when it comes to offensive production. But then you see it's, okay, Christian Moore, Berkey. I mean, out here bombing, but then you look at the rest of the lineup too, and you're finding so much production, and just even getting on base. And I think he's having, you know, look, they always have fun when they're doing this and their runs and whatnot. But I think the challenge of this year, and seeing how it's paid off, I think that's where Tony is having a blast. And I knew he had, he had told me last week when we were talking that, you know, he had a lot of family coming in. For the Missouri series, his sister was coming in town to see Tim McGraw, but at the same time go see him as well with ball baseball. But yeah, even speaking with him last week, I could just hear his excitement in what's going on. Even though, you know, you got to hope it, you know, continues to play out and you continue to get your bats on the road. And but yeah, it's also been very interesting, Russ and Bear, to see how, you know, Frank and the staff have put together the pitching rotation, and, you know, even Kirby coming out of the pen and maybe getting three innings from him. Like, it's the way they put it together has been intriguing to me this year.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at some of these early regional projections, and, you know, that's kind of like bracketology in basketball. All this stuff will change, obviously. But it did get me kind of thinking, and it's like you really only have one starter that you're super comfortable with, whereas last year you had two, maybe three or four guys that you were comfortable throwing out there. This year it's pretty much Drew Beam.
With Chase coming out of the bullpen too, cut you off, but like, yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah, so this year I do want, just looking ahead towards that first regional, okay, you know, if barring a collapse, we'll be a one seed and you'll be playing a fourth seed that's just happy to be there, but those games can be dangerous, as we saw against Wright State a couple of years ago. And so it's like, are you going to save Beam for that second game? Well, who do you start in that first game against the four seed in the regional, and how do you set up your pitching in a postseason type scenario? You know, it's early to be having these conversations, Trey, but it's going to be fascinating to see what he does.
I mean, we call it early. I mean, what? We got – let's see, SEC baseball, two regular season series kind of left in the season, and then, you know, we'll be in Hoover, you know, for the tournament. So, I mean, I think it's kind of like right on par with where we're at. And I think, you know, I don't know about, like, the Friday night thing. They've kind of pieced it together, like, as the season's gone on, you know, and they lost the first AJ, you know, to an injury that, I've been told they're just, you know, it's more of a cautionary thing right now, and they're not trying to, you know, he's not trying to get hurt even further, and don't want to do the surgery thing, a strain, more or less what it was. But them trying to put the pieces together in that one has stood out to me, and what they've done on these Friday games or Thursday games, depending on when it starts during the week. And then, like, we're talking about, like, you know, regionals and super regionals as well, and getting down the stretch. Like, you know, one of the things Tony pointed out to me recently was, you know, he really wished they'd have got that Southern Miss type of series last year in Knoxville, because he thinks, you know, that would have been the one that got them, you know, to the next step. And I look at where this team is at right now, and if they can take series, you know, the next three series, I guess you could say, and then go to Hoover. You ain't got to win the tournament at Hoover. If anything, Tennessee could probably treat Hoover like Kentucky treats the SEC tournament in basketball. Like, don't go down there and get, you know, hammered. Don't mess up your pitching. Keep everybody healthy, and then make a run towards Omaha right after that. So that it's kind of the way I look at it now, just because of the success they had in Hoover and winning the SEC tournament. I think this year you really want to put yourself in that situation where you are hosting first weekend and you're hosting the second weekend, which will give you that clear path to Omaha. So that's kind of what stands out to me the most about what they have done so far, him, Frank, you know, Elander, and you name it.
Trey Wallace of OutKick with us this afternoon on The Drive. Trey, what about this story that went viral in the SEC baseball community earlier this week with Jim
Schlock?
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the Georgia thing is pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
I don't think it takes a rocket surgeon to see what happened there. But I was referring to Jim Schlossnagel, the head coach at Texas A&M, the allegation he made that SEC team got, as he put it, I believe, busted with a video feed of the opponent's dugout or in their dugout. Walk me through exactly what that allegation was and whether or not there's any substance to it.
So they're talking about, and I want to say this is the right word because I don't have it right in front of me, the technology to use, the TrackMan. I think it's TrackMan.
TrackMan, yeah.
Yeah. So you can have, a lot of teams do this. I've talked to a couple of folks in college baseball over the last week or so about this. And I think he was trying to vaguely point out that a school in the SEC had a live video feed set up, not right inside the dugout, but right there down the hallway in the dugout.
You know, boy, where have I heard this before?
Right. Yeah.
This is exactly what the Astros were doing.
Right. And so that's what when he's referencing that, he's referencing somebody is sitting in that back room and watching this play out, which everybody has track technology, but somebody's sitting in that back room and sending signals out down the hall to players in the dugout and coaches in the dugout, then they're relaying that, you know, onto the field.
What are they accused of relaying? Pitches? Like what pitch is coming?
Yeah.
They have a camera on the catcher, and so they can – but a lot of people don't use signs.
Right. They use the technology on their wrist.
Yeah.
To be able to dial in. They're talking about that, but also they're talking about my understanding. I could be wrong here, but they're also talking about, you know, when players are getting on base – trying to be able, because they also at the same time look when pitchers look down at their wrist and they figure out, you know, the technology, you know, with the catcher has, you know, an earpiece in, they also at the same time do still throw the signals out every now and then.
Yeah.
But at the same time too, they're talking about base running, stealing, what's the third base coach, you know, doing when the guy. So that's all of that, put all of that into it. And some nerd in the background is sitting there trying to break down what's going on and sending that out to the coaches on the field. And it's an interesting, you know, my whole thought is, man, if you're going to go that far and you're going to talk about it, just say the damn team. You know, it's like what happened at Florida, you know, between Florida and Vanderbilt. I guess it was 2 weeks ago when the Vanderbilt pitcher had rosin on his arm, and Sully, Florida's coach, was trying to be polite for two innings to Tim Corbin and politely saying, you know, hey man, he's got it on his arm. Like, I don't want to go to the umpire here and have to like make this a big ordeal, but I'm trying to give you a warning that I'm going to if you don't take him out or if he doesn't get rid of it off his arm. Well, Tim Corbin just kept ignoring Sully. And finally Florida was like, okay, screw that. We're going to the umpire. We're going to get the guy tossed, and he's going to be suspended 4 games. So there's a cordial work environment between these coaches where they don't want to get the kid suspended for like 4 games for doing something. But at the same time, if Tim Corbin's going to be Tim Corbin, okay, we're going to call you out on it. So what I'm getting at is that there's a lot of different things going on right now in SEC baseball. I've also been told that there was a school that had up to 4 or 5 bats confiscated before a weekend series last week due to potential shaving of the bats.
Yeah.
Is probably the best way to put it.
Wow.
So this
sport is just dirty and corrupt as all hell is basically what you're telling us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In my opinion, And Barry, you tell me you agree. I feel like, and I'm not, the foreign substances, bat shaving, bat doctoring, the stickers, whatever's going on there, that's not great. It's clearly cheating, and I don't think you overlook it. But I just think when you start using video technology to steal signs,
yes,
I feel like that is a bridge way too far, in my opinion. And, you know, if this is happening – I realize college baseball is still a very niche sport, and they're not talking about it in Nashville the way we obsess about it here and in other places. But, man, I want to know – I want some transparency there. If somebody was doing that and gaining a, in my opinion, very unfair playing field advantage, we need – I feel like the public should know about it, man. Put it out there. Put names on it, and – Let's publicly shame these people, and because I want to know what games were affected.
Yeah, you really need to, and then not only that, but when you factor in, I mean, because it's just there now, sports betting, and that's a whole.
It's an integrity of the game issue.
Yeah,
is it Arkansas, Trey? I mean, I feel like that's pretty well known if you go online and search for this that. It feels like Arkansas was the, you know, Schlossnagel didn't say it, but the internet sleuths went out there and looked at the numbers and the quotes he gave about they were hitting 305 and then it went to 205. And I feel like it's pretty well known in baseball circles that Arkansas is the team he was talking about, correct?
I will just say if it's Arkansas is not the only team in the Southeastern Conference doing it right now.
With the video?
Yes.
Huh.
Well. Yes. But also,
I mean, Sankey needs to get his hands on that. Like, and
right. But earlier Friday, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. Earlier today, LSU's coach came out and said, you know, he was talking about the offense, the technology in the sport, being able to relay the call to the catcher who has the earpiece in and whatnot. But at the same time, that is also a way to relay a lot of other information to the catcher.
Interesting.
And he said that, and you guys can go back and look up the quote while we're on the air here today, but Jay Johnson was talking about, you know, just because the offense, the technology is there, doesn't mean that it's overall good for the game. So pretty much what he's saying is that there's a lot of cheating going on with this technology now in college baseball. So, I mean, he kind of makes a really good point by saying that, you know. So, I think once the coaches sit down and have a meeting after the season and they have their little, you know, they're all on a group chat with Greg Sankey. I mean, they all are. But I have been told that there are three or four coaches that do not respond to that group chat whenever coaches send in complaints. So take that for what it's worth.
Wow. Oh, man. What a great sport. I love college baseball. I mean,
the NASCAR people think college baseball is out of control with the cheating.
It's crazy, man.
Can you imagine the group text? I mean, can you imagine, like, Sully, you know, talking crap in the text and say, hey man, stop cheating, you know what I mean? Then another coach comes in and says, well, okay, your pitchers have been using rosin like crazy. And another coach comes in and says, all right, well, you guys are using video technology. Like, I would love to get a hold of that group chat.
There's one thing between, you know, a pitcher being really good at working a rosin bag and your sweat, and, you know, I mean, you gotta work at it to get it really good and sticky. It's a whole, like Russ is saying, man, that's a whole other thing. When you start talking about video and, you know, high tech cheating, that's just, I can't go there. That's wrong.
Well, especially knowing that it's not going to go down. You're not going to have this in Omaha. You're not going to probably have this for your NCAA regionals, you know? So really you got it for regular season play.
Yeah.
You know, because you got, you know, for a regional, you're bringing in four teams, so they're going to take up dugouts, and you can't have your setup in there, you know, and super regionals and whatnot. So I don't know. I think there are a lot more things going on in the SEC this year than I expected before the season started.
All right, Trey, last thing we'll let you run here. Having a conversation on the show today. I don't know if you recall my position on the Kentucky Derby from when you were on the show with us. I don't enjoy it. I don't get it. I don't like it. I realize I'm probably in the minority there. If there were a list of awesome things Russell hates, this would probably be up near the top. But most overrated sporting events. To me, this is number one with a bullet on my list. Do you have any sporting events that people geek out over and get all excited about that you're just like, meh, not for me?
Yes, the NBA playoffs and the Major League Baseball World Series.
Really?
I could care less.
Okay.
Whatever. The Knicks won last night. Congratulations. I don't care.
Just not on your radar.
No.
Did you like the NBA growing up?
No. I mean,
You've never been into it?
No, I've never really been into it. I mean, we all grew up kind of like watching Shaq and how cool he was down in Orlando and Kobe. You know, but I mean, I never really got into it. No, NBA was not a thing in the Deep South growing up.
Well, you're a little bit younger. I mean, if Kobe and Shaq, I think that was a pretty good era. I mean, that the tail end of the Jordan era. But for me, you know, I mean, 80s, 90s NBA was where it's at. But I'm with you. I'm not too big on it anymore. The World Series is kind of interesting.
I mean, the world, look, don't get me wrong. Like
the Fall Classic.
Right. I mean, it can be fun, but it's not something where I'm sitting there watching nine innings of baseball. Like, if it's tight in the seventh, okay, I'll tune in. That's kind of whatever. That'll be interesting. But
it's got to be good teams, right? Yeah. Rangers, Diamondbacks last year. Yeah.
Right. I'm more in love with college baseball.
Sure.
I'll watch nine innings of South Alabama versus Louisiana Monroe of college baseball compared to a regular season Major League Baseball game. I could care less. So those are my two.
Great sport. All right, Trey.
Even though I have seen our boy Beck go off for the last couple nights. So that's been fun to watch.
Mike Honcho has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Trey, OutKick, go check him out. Anything you want to plug that you're working on over there?
No, I put out a story earlier today comparing Deion Sanders to Hulk Hogan in the NWO. That was a fun one. We're 3 weeks from now, we'll be in Destin for spring meetings, and we'll be talking about lawsuits and how we're going to be revenue sharing with student athletes. So whatever, all that's coming. But for the time being, it's baseball season, so I'm looking forward to enjoying the rest of this game today and what we get later tonight in the second game of the day.
Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all for having me.
Trey Wallace of OutKick making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Got to take a quick time out. We will be back to unpack our visit with Trey and talk to you as well when we continue next here on The Drive.
The Drive. 105 points.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, the adventure continues. Friday, May 3rd edition of the show. I'm Russell Smith alongside young Tucker Harlan.
I can't believe it's May already, guys.
Trey Wallace of OutKick. Bear, what did you learn?
I'll tell you, one of the juicier parts of it is the stuff with A&M's coach. Is it Schlossnagel?
Yes.
Schlossnagel and the apparent amount of not just rampant cheating, but going beyond, you know, spider tack and rosin.
I'm still not clear what the actual allegation is.
They were monitoring their opponent's dugout, and I'm not sure what advantage they were gaining, if that was tipping the pitches or what. But that's not the first time or the first sport that we've heard about videoing of opponents' practices.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would if Because if they're doing what the Astros were doing, if they're tipping pitches, if they're using video to steal signs, which is what the Yankees and Red Sox were both accused of doing, that kind of
guy. We never admitted culpability in that, Russ, as a franchise. I'm speaking for the Yankees.
I actually think you did. But I just wonder if what is alleged is true. I would like to know definitively, because that seems like kind of a big deal, something to be sweeping under the rug.
Yeah, and it's like we're talking about with Trey. I mean, there are just so many different facets to it that could, you know, it's just trouble, man. When you get into stuff like that and involve gambling, and I mean, it's like you said, you have to protect the integrity of the game. Pitchers are trying to use, some spotter tack to rip that, you know, rip the ball a little bit better. I'll tell you another. If a pitcher's just not paying attention and he's playing loosey-goosey with the ball on the mound and there's a guy on second, that's baseball. You can't just let anybody see what you're doing in your glove.
I don't think anybody has a huge problem with that. Baseball game tied, by the way. Florida with a two-run homer to tie it. Tennessee had a big second inning. So both teams, big second innings down in Gainesville. Tucker will have you up to date with that as we move to the third inning now at Condren Park in Gainesville. But Trey, not a big World Series guy.
That kind of surprised me, because he is a big sports guy. Baseball surprised me. Even when I was wondering, I would always pay attention to the World Series. Even when
I would have been there with him until we got back into it 4 or 5 years ago. I had let it go. Baseball in general, I had let it go. Kind of the way the NBA have let go here lately. But it depends on who's in there, I suppose. Tucker, what were your sports overrated sporting events?
I didn't really have any that I came up with.
You are all sports guy. I don't know that there's one that you don't like.
Well, you know,
I'm having a hard time myself.
I agree with you on some of yours that you said.
Super Bowl is overrated.
It definitely is overrated.
I'll tell you one I just do not care about. Won't watch it. I've only paid attention to it 1 year. NHL. I paid attention that year the Preds had that run, and we all kind of got fired up, and people gave us some Preds T-shirts, and I was like, oh, this is cool.
Well, I mean, that's a sport in general that obviously we don't chat much about on the show, but, yeah, that was cool. I do remember the year the Rangers won in 94 was big, just because I just remember it was a different time in the sports landscape, man. There was just not as much clutter, not as many options. And ESPN really pushed it that year because it was a New York market, because it was Mark Messier finally winning a cup and, you know, the long career he had had. And because the OJ thing was going on at the same time. And there was there was just a convergence of events at that time. That certainly one that, depending on where you're at, not a lot of hockey fans here in East Tennessee.
Yeah, but I remember up until I don't know when the line of demarcation was, at least for me, but like when I was younger, like in the 80s and up until the mid 90s, I kind of kept up with it. I mean, Gretzky was playing, Yzerman.
Let's get DR Vall in here. DR Vall, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's going on, guys? Russ ran into Steve Hamer yesterday.
Big Stevie Hamer, great guy.
He was at the super nice guy, very humble. I met him at the Big Orange Caravan and went up to him. I was like, hey man, I was listening to you on the drive with Russ, and he's like, I'm sorry. And I said, Russ isn't that bad.
Thanks, buddy.
But good guy.
I saw who else you met.
I met the new Lady Vols coach.
All right.
I thought I saw a picture of you and Mrs. DR with the Deacon.
We did, and I tell you what, that's who I was most interested in meeting. And, you know, he was up there talking to Bob Kessling, which, by the way, Bob Kessling, him have their own TV show. Their back and forth was epic. I mean, it was they were really giving each other jabs. I had no idea, though, and y'all may have talked about it on the show, I apologize, but Barnes said that back in 89 or 90, he don't remember which, but he was at the Final Four the year Georgetown won it, and he got a call from Doug Dickey wanting to interview him for the Tennessee job. And he's like, who is this? And he's like, Doug Dickey. And he called his agent, and he said, you're not going to work for a helmet head. Did y'all have any idea there was interest back then?
Did he really say that? That's a direct quote,
yes.
A helmet head?
And then Bob Kessling said, well, that's a shot at Coach Heupel, isn't it? I didn't know that.
There were so many guys, DR, in the 90s that were connected to the Tennessee basketball coaching job that we kicked the tires on, or were alleged to have kicked the tires on, or in some cases may have offered the job, that, I mean, it's really unbelievable when you think about it. We literally don't have time to go through all of them.
That's just so insane. I'd never heard that with Barnes. I mean, that was straight from his mouth. And then he talked about how he had already accepted the Tennessee job when he had the press conference that he was fired at Texas.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd seen – he'd commented about that.
I did not know that. Wow, that's a – I'd figured, like, they might have been talking or something like that, but he says he had already accepted the job when he gave that press conference.
Yeah, the way he was talking about it, Russ, was – at the end, when like he figured he was getting fired, but he hadn't heard from Texas, he'd already been communicating with Tennessee. And, you know, and he talks about that quote that y'all talked about before. He said, my last question that was asked was, are you going to coach again? And he said, sooner than you think. And he said, I literally left that press conference and flew to Knoxville.
Yeah, I remember that. Somebody had tweeted that exchange out towards the end of the basketball season.
And that was yours truly.
Was it?
Yes.
I thought it was interesting, though. Yeah, he did say that, though. He said he'd already accepted a Tennessee job before he got fired. So I thought that was pretty neat. But, Russ, I just want to let you know I had your back yesterday with Steve. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, DR. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll go through the laundry list of almost Tennessee basketball coaches.
That's always a fun trip down memory lane.
When we continue here in just a little bit, Tucker Harlan's got your top four at four. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Hour number two coming up.